Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. My name is Lisa Woodruff, and I'm a professional organizer and blogger in Cincinnati, Ohio. I want to help you get your home organized and help you organize life stages and unexpected events. So sit back, relax, and let's get organized. Well, today is the day. I am so excited. Today is the day that you can finally get my new book, The Mindset of Organization. Now, today I'm going to tell you why I wrote this book first, because I've been telling you I'm coming out with 6 or 7 books in the next 2 years. Why this was the first book, what you can find in this book, and then I'm also going to tell you how book launches work nowadays and why I self-published and how you can help me get the word out about this book. So when I sat down to write a book, I mean, for 2 years I've been running to write a book, and I even pulled all the 40 weeks, one whole house posts into a PDF and started using that as a book because people were asking me, can you please put the 40-week challenge into a book so we can follow along? And then I did the 100-day challenge, and I thought maybe that would be turned into a book so that you could go through your home one area at a time and see how I would organize it and help you organize your home. And as I looked at the majority of the books on the market, that's exactly how those books are written. You walk into your kitchen. Okay, we're going to talk about your cabinets. Open up your cabinets. And it will be pictures of cabinets and how to organize the things that are in those spaces. And I love books like that. I mean, I own a bunch of them. And in almost every single home we organize here in Cincinnati, we find that the owners have gone out and bought organizational books just like this, where it says, you know, everything you can organize in your kitchen, everything in your bedroom, everything in your bathroom, and pictures of how to do it. And so I thought that is the kind of organizational book I will write. And for the last 2 years, I've been trying to take all of the knowledge I have about how to organize a home and put it into a book. And it just wasn't working. And then around November or December last year on the podcast, I started telling you all about my idea that organization changes in your home in the 4 phases of life. There's the childhood phase, the accumulation phase, the survival phase, and the downsizing legacy phase. And they're roughly about 20 years in length. So for the first 20 years of your life, you don't care how to organize a garage because you only have your bedroom to organize, right? And not everyone has a garage. Not everyone has a storage room. People around the world don't have front hall closets. That was interesting when I was blogging about front hall closets. And people would say, what is this front hall closet you speak of? I do not have this space. And I started to realize that organization is not about how to organize a specific space. It's not about getting the maximal square inch usage out of every space in your home. It's a mindset. It's a way of thinking. It's the ability to go into any space and organize it. The ability to move from one house to another, a big house to a small house to a big house, one country to the next country, take your stuff with you, know where to put it, and live organized. Just whatever that is for you. And I found that was true too. Like, some people are minimalists and they really don't want any paper and they don't want very much stuff in their house. And other people, you know, are very eclectic and artistic and they love all different kinds of art and they have lots of stuff around them, but they feel very organized when they know where their bills and their mail and their art supplies are. But their home to a minimalist would appear very cluttered. So once I started thinking about this more, I thought, okay, how do I put in a book how you would get organized that would really appeal to any woman, which I know is way too big of a target audience if you're a marketer. But how do I encourage women and empower women that they can be organized and it's not necessarily going to look like their mother's version of organization, their best girlfriend's version of organization, their neighbor's version of organization, and to be okay with that, to really be okay with how their house looks, the organization that they are comfortable with, and bottom line, knowing where your stuff is, right? Like, I think they say the average American spends 50 minutes a day looking for stuff, and that boggles my mind, and I think that statistic can't be true. But once I organized my house for the third time, people, not the first time, the third time, I realized I wasn't looking for anything anymore. I was looking for things, like looking for the keys, looking for that bill. Where's that paper that has to go back to school? How come I can't find my favorite sweater? Is that at the dry cleaner again? We do. We spend so much time looking for stuff. So my new definition of organization is knowing where your own stuff is. Whatever that looks like, knowing where your own stuff is. So I wanted to write, I'm writing a bunch of books, and a lot of them will be step one, do this, step two, do this, step three, do this. But before I put those on the market, I want one book out there that is encouraging and empowering and shifts your mind in a new dimension. I want you to really see these four phases of organization. So let me run through those for you because it's been a while since I've talked about those on the podcast. The first phase of organization is childhood, from 0 till around 18 to 22, depending on when you leave your parents' house. That is when you are responsible for your bedroom. And I have free podcasts and blogs on the posts. If you go to organize365.com and click on the kids link, you'll see everything that I have for kids. This is about having kids and young adults take ownership of their bedroom as if it's their own apartment. And how do you put all of the things you would have in a house or an apartment in a bedroom, like a study area and a snack area and an office supply area? That's all in your children's bedroom. And part of what we do as parents is we allow our kids the freedom to organize that space and to gain the organizational constructs that they will need going forward. Then, from anywhere from 18 to 21 to around the age of 40 is the accumulating phase of life. This is when you're accumulating jobs and a husband if you want one, and a house and children and all of the things that come with children and all of the toys that you want to buy for the house that you have, whatever kind of house that is, whether that's a condo, a tiny house, an apartment, or maybe you're someone who's going to live a virtual lifestyle and you're able to pack up your suitcase and go from space to space. No matter where you go, no matter where you land, you're going to need to make food. You're going to have to store memories. There are things that are going to happen in every space that you have. And so let's tackle those in the accumulation phase of life. Now, in the accumulation phase of life, I got hit hard once I had two kids within 18 months. That's when my organization completely went off the rails. And I share my stories in this book about how I went from being born organized and thought I had it all together to paying bills late, even though we had the money to pay the bills. Like, it was because I wasn't organized. And that's when I came up with the Sunday basket. So many of you on the podcast have already heard about the Sunday basket. The Sunday basket is explained in that chapter as well. So I got the Sunday basket going, I got back on track, and I was heading through the accumulation phase just fine until a whole bunch of life events and the largest economic recession in the last 70 years hit the country. And I went into a 5 to 7 year slump of life was just happening faster than I could keep up with it. And my organization started to suffer. And the year I turned 40 was when I started the Organize 365 blog and in-home professional organizing services, and when every single drawer in my house was a junk drawer. I didn't even know what were in the cabinets anymore. The closets, oh my gosh, it was crazy, which is why I developed the 40 weeks, one whole house challenge to begin with. It was for me. Sorry, you're benefiting now, but originally it was for me because I was completely drowning. And what was happening was I was moving from that accumulation phase of life where I was at home, even though I was working from home, I was at home so much with these little kids, and then they went into school and they were in all-time school, but I was still home the majority of the time so I could get the organization done just because I was physically here. But I was moving into the survival phase of life where I had middle school children. I was still working from home, but I was doing a lot of organization away from home. And I was in my car all the time. I'm in my car all the time now. Well, that requires a different kind of organization and thinking when the majority of the time you are working away from home, your kids are away from home, and you're driving them everywhere. It's really hard to sit down for dinner when nobody's here at the dinner hour, right? So the survival phase of life is about 40 to 55. It's when your kids are in that, you know, preteen through early college years, whatever that is for you. Plus, there is something that happens to a woman at the age of 40. There's just a switch that goes off in your brain and you just think a little bit differently than you did in your 20s and 30s. That's the survival phase of life. Different organization needs to happen then. That's when you start to outsource some of your household tasks. And that's when you really start looking at like, okay, how much of this can I do while I'm in a car? Like, if I'm gonna sit in a car for 15 minutes and I have the bills with me, I could pay them. But if I don't have them with me, I can't. So I talk about that in the survival phase of life. And then the last phase of life is 55 plus. And this happens differently for people. Like this age break happens at a different time for people where you go into the downsizing and legacy phase of life. It can happen really early in your life if you lose your parents, which is what I found. Once you lose your spouse or your parents, you look at stuff completely differently and you have more of a downsizing and legacy mindset. Like, oh my gosh, it took me that long to clean out my parents' house. And then you look at your own house and you go, oh, there's a lot of stuff here I don't use. And somebody's going to have to clean this out one day. The other thing is when you look at that downsizing and legacy phase of life, I talk about the different generations. So I've been doing a lot of research on generations, and I've read the book Generations by Howe and Strauss, and then I've just read their new book, The Fourth Turning. These are like college textbooks to read. They're very detailed, intricate, and have a lot of research in them, but I love diving into this. And when we look at each phase of life, I'm sure as I'm talking, you're like, okay, I'm in the accumulating phase of life, or I'm in the survival phase of life. Well, currently, in each of these phases of life are different generations of people. So the millennial generation is primarily in the accumulating phase of life right now. And Gen X is primarily in the survival phase of life right now. And the baby boomers and the silent generation are all in the downsizing and legacy phase of life right now. And I think you would agree that a millennial is very different than a baby boomer, right? In the way they think, in the way they work, in the way they use automated technology. Millennials are looking to live in smaller houses and have more experience to do more traveling. Baby boomers typically have a family home that they moved into in their 20s and they still live there. You know, and their kids have gone, but the grandkids come back to the house that the children were raised in. So they bought one house and they have had, and they have 20, 30, 40 years worth of stuff in that house. Some of it is yours, millennials, that's still in the house. And then there's Gen X, which is kind of in the middle. We are a smaller population than either of those and not really talked about much in the media. So when you look at those things, the way a baby boomer would look at China in their storage room is way different than the way a Gen X or a millennial will look at China in their storage room. For a baby boomer, having China was something that you saved for, that you got for your wedding, that you looked forward to one day as a girl, what China you would get, that your mother passed on her China to you. So you usually have multiple sets of China. Growing up, you would have had Sunday dinners where you pulled out the good China. At the holidays, you would have pulled out the good China and used the good China. Today, we don't do that as much. Even in my family, I know growing up, we didn't have Sunday dinners, but every holiday was full out. All of the china. My mom had actually, when I was growing up, I think it was 5 sets of china because she had her, I think 2 sets of her own china and then her grandmother's china. I mean, there was a lot of china in our house, a lot of options when we were going to have a really fun, fancy dinner. And my mom would also entertain. She would have over Bridge Club and she would have over the Junior League and they would have these teas and they would have these parties and she would pull out her fine china. I personally own fine china, and I can't even tell you the last time that I used it. It's been forever. I remember registering it and wanting it so much for my wedding because I saw my mother and my grandmother and my great-grandmother use their china all the time. But I almost never use my china because we just don't eat that way today. So now as a Gen Xer, I have my mom's baby boomer china, which is not mine, but she has a lot of it. And her mother, who is 90, has china as well still. And we all have the same Waterford crystal. Like we could have a party for everybody with the Waterford crystal that we have. But it's just not how we live today. And when I look at my kids, which are younger than the millennials, they're either the tail end of the millennials or they're the alpha generation. Will they ever use china? I don't know if they'll ever use China. So this is part of the organizational debate here. Not where we store China, or how to store china, but it's what do you do when your baby boomer and silent generation parents pass and you all of a sudden have five sets of china coming into your house. I mean, what do you do with that? You love your parents and it was so important to them. It was so expensive. It was something that they waited their whole life for. They took care of. We didn't put it in the dishwasher. We hand washed it every single Thanksgiving. We put it away. You remember all of those memories, but you're probably not going to use it as a millennial, right? But yet your mom wants to give you her china and you're not going to use it. How do you say to her, I'm not going to use it, but I realize this was really valuable for you? And how does mom, who's ready to hand all this china down to the mom, the child, not feel like, well, darn it, like I worked all my life, like this was a big thing we purchased. China is a really big financial investment and we saved it and we took care of it and it's time for you to have it because you're doing Thanksgiving dinner now and you don't want it and so you're rejecting me. And a lot of this stuff has a lot more to it than just the stuff that we're seeing, right? And so a lot of the discussion around organization is not just around how to organize a specific item in your home. It's what kind of home are you living in and the people related to the stuff. So in every single section of this book, starting with childhood, I tackle the memories associated with that phase of life. And for those of you women who read this book that are in the survival phase of life, because that's where I am, I'm really hitting you guys hard with this. So in the childhood section, we talk about how do you store baby clothes and kids' school papers and things like that. How do you make those decisions both for yourself, if you're the mom, and for yourself, if you're the child, like what do you want to keep and how much are you going to keep? Then when we go into the accumulating phase of life, I talk about how, you know, you have to accumulate so much stuff when you move out of your parents' house and into whatever kind of dwelling you're going to be in. You need your own vacuum cleaner. If you have grass, you need your own lawnmower. Like there's a lot of purchases you need to make that you didn't really realize go along with not living in a bedroom in your parents' house anymore. And I talk about in that phase of life, what do you do with the things that you're holding on to that are your own? And this bridges over into the survival phase of life. Okay, I'm 44. And this year, I just got rid of the skis that I used when I was 16. Like, if you're the woman, let's just face it, you own the whole house and your stuff is in that storage room and there's no reason for you to get rid of it because it's your stuff, it's your house, you have to organize it. So let's focus on my spouse, let's focus on my kids, let's get them all decluttered. No, the grand majority of the stuff in the house, ladies, is yours. And I had to really take a look at what was in those storage rooms and what I was storing just because I could. Like, we have a typical American 2,400 square foot home. I have space. I can store stuff I don't need. And so I did, because I might, you know, need it one day. I didn't need it one day. And I had to finally say, if you were moving or if I were gone, is this something that I want my children to have? My old ski equipment? My husband's weights from high school? He's going to be 50 next year. I don't think so. I don't think we need these things in our storage room. But because we have the space, because it's already been there, we don't get rid of it. So I really challenge you in those two phases of life to look at your own stuff and only be holding on to stuff in your storage room or that you really might use again one day or you really want your children to have one day. And then in the downsizing legacy phase, we look at, okay, so you've decided to save the baby clothes because those are really important to you. But how are you saving them? Are you just saving 80 baby outfits in multiple bins to hand to your daughter when they have their first child? Or are you pulling out your 10 favorite and putting that into a nice baby blanket and you actually have the baby blanket out and on display? Do you have all of their school papers, every single one in the basement labeled in bins like mountains down there? Or have you pulled out your favorites and you put them in a binder and they're actually looking at them today and they're enjoying them? Like, how do we get stuff out of our storage room and into our family rooms so that we're actually enjoying these things as a family? Now, I wasn't able to tackle every single area of memories. And actually, over the next 12 months, I will be pulling out more and more memory areas. And one of the books I come out with late next year will be about more of these things that we save and how can we pass those on to the next generation, like wedding dresses and china and things like that. But there are definitely a bunch in there. Okay, so that is what the book is about. The book is about understanding these four phases of life, knowing where you are, knowing what the unique challenges are in each area, dealing with the memories and things you're putting in the storage room in that phase of life, as opposed to being 70 and looking at your storage room and having all four phases of life memories in there to deal with at one time. I think we can all agree that that's overwhelming, right? But also, I love being this generation translator and helping baby boomers see how their Gen X and millennial children look at stuff, and millennials and Gen X's look up at the baby boomers and silent generations and really give them validation. You know, today you can go buy and get anything you want basically on Amazon delivered to your house within 24 hours. Like, it's insane how fast we can get stuff and how inexpensively we can get stuff today. But I want you to really think and appreciate how hard it was to acquire stuff in past generations. You had to earn money for a long time. Sometimes credit was not an option, so you paid cash and you saved up all this money and you bought this thing that you thought would go from generation to generation, which today is like a available on every street corner. But back then it wasn't. It was really hard earned, well taken care of, and cherished to pass on to the next generation. I think once we understand that, then we can have the discussion saying, oh my gosh, thank you so much, Mom. This is so cool. Can you tell me about when you and your mom went to register for the china or the kind of china she had? And have the discussion, make the memory around the experience of the stuff versus the actual physical stuff that is there. So that is the mindset of organization. Once you understand the mindset of organization and the phase of life you are in, then every discussion I have from you going forward is going to be so much easier, because we're going to have this common language that we can discuss. Also, this is a great book to give family members when you're going to start discussing. So this will give a common way of talking about things. So the book is called The Mindset of Organization, Take Back Your House One Phase at a Time. And you're able to find everything about this in the link to Amazon at organize365.com/mindset. Now, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. I actually published a book with Tommy Nelson Publishers. So I've had a book published before with a publishing house back in 2007. The Sunday Basket is an ebook that you can buy at Etsy. And I have a couple of other $2.99 ebooks out right now, which are books that I just did on my computer. They're just PDFs and I uploaded them and you download them and you either read them on your computer or you print them out. And that was fine. This is not that kind of a book. I say this is my first book because this book I wrote with the mindset of teaching you something, and I hired an editor. I know some of you are clapping. Stop it. I know I'm not a great speller and my grammar is lacking, but I have great ideas. So don't worry. I hired an editor. Actually took a little bit longer with the editor than we thought. I know you're not surprised. So I hired an editor. She is amazing. And then I hired a formatting company. So the book is all perfectly formatted because this book is available as a Kindle book. Today it's free and tomorrow it's free and they'll be 99 cents for 9 days and it'll go to regular price. It is also available as a paperback book. So you can order it from Amazon as a paperback book. And the goal is by the end of September, it will also be on audible.com. So it takes a little bit longer to get a book into Audible, but it will be available in Audible. So this book is a book. You can buy this as a paperback and have it shipped to somebody from Amazon. Now, the way publishing is happening right now is we're in this transition period. I'm sure you're aware that you can watch TV by cable, but you can also watch it on Amazon Prime or Netflix. So you can watch TV on demand through Netflix, or you can watch it as regular programming through cable. Same thing is happening in the book publishing industry. In order for me to publish this book with a traditional publisher, it would not be coming out until late 2017, early 2018. So it just takes a lot longer for the process to happen with a traditional publisher. And so that's why I did it this way. It's because I want a whole bunch of books to come out, but I am using the resources I would have used if I was traditionally publishing, like an editor and like a formatter, and it will be available in all those different ways, in print, in a Kindle, and in Audible. So it will be like it's been traditionally published, only I am the publisher, which was a little challenging last month as I ran into some delays. But the other thing about that is, because I'm not with a publisher, I have to do all of the marketing 100% myself. And the way to get this book beyond just our little podcast group that listens to this podcast is to get it to rank higher in Amazon so that they will push the book out into the popular feed. And people who have never heard of me before might get this book and learn that there are these phases of life and that they too can get organized. So how we do this is it's a group effort. And if you're on my email list, you already know about the group effort because I've already started emailing, is to download the book for free today and tomorrow. Definitely go 100% download it for free. Even if you want to pay for it, download it for free, because Amazon has a free list and Amazon has a paid list. So I can get to the top of the free list and then we can work our way up on the paid list. So there is a benefit for you downloading it for free. Also, once you've downloaded it for free or at all, paid for it or for free, downloaded it, then you can go back into Amazon after you read it and you can write me a review. And please, 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 please write me a review, because that will then give the book more weight. Number one, you know, when you go to Amazon and you see something, it has reviews, especially a book, you might read a couple of the reviews. So if you have a few extra minutes and if you would like to do something to help this launch, even if you're listening to this 6 months, a year later, please, 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 especially if this book has done for you what I hope it does and open your mind to different ways of looking at organization, please go leave me a review on Amazon. And then, so hopefully we'll go up to the top of the free store and we'll get reviews. My goal is to have 25 reviews by the end of tomorrow. So by Saturday night, to have 25 reviews. I know that's a lot. You'd have to read really fast. So if you can't read the whole book, skip to your phase, read that and write a review on that would be awesome. Then on Sunday, the book will be 99 cents. So that's going to put my book in a completely different part of Amazon. This is now in the paid list. And I want my book to start ranking in the paid list. But also, the New York Times bestseller list, the USA Today bestseller list, there are all these bestseller lists. Bestseller, not best free book list. So it has to be a sold book, which is why it's 99 cents. And that contest period or list period goes from Sunday morning until Saturday night. So I'm starting the 99 cent promotion on Sunday morning, and mine will actually go through a full week until the Monday, but the New York Times will look at Sunday through Saturday. Now, getting on the New York Times bestseller list would be really, really challenging. But hey, I like challenges and we're going to do this 6 or 7 times in the next 2 years. So I got to figure out this cycle anyway. So if even you download it for free and you wouldn't mind paying 99 cents for my Kindle book, I would love it if you would buy it the 28th through Saturday, September 3rd, which I know is Labor Day weekend. Now, somebody has already emailed me and they, because I let them in on this information, and they said, okay, so we buy on Sunday, right? And I said, yes. She said, okay, because I'm buying it for a bunch of my friends. And I thought, oh, I didn't even think of that. So if you want to buy it for your friends, then you would go into Amazon and you could buy a 99 cent ebook and then you put in their email and it will send it to them. So if you want to buy it for your mom or your sister or your child or whoever. Also, if you want to buy the paperback book, it is available today. But if in any way you can download the free one today to start reading it and actually buy the paperback one on Sunday, that would be better than buying it today. Of course, buy it whenever you want. But that would help with the getting to the top of the New York Times bestseller list. Anyone who's listening to this that has more information than I do on how to publish books, feel free to email me at lisa@organize365.com. All right, one more thing I want to share with you guys. I figure if you're still listening, then you want to know. All right, so you're still listening. A couple people have approached me about, am I going to do book signings? Am I going to do a book launch? And the answer is, yes, I want to. Not with this book, but yes, I want to. I can't do it with this book because I didn't time this release right for my family. Like, it's back to school time. That's way too crazy for me to leave my family and do anything big book launchy related. But the week after Christmas and before New Year's is when I'm going to release my next book, which will be called Organization 101, The Sunday Basket. And then in April, I'm going to release my third book, which will be about how the executive functioning part of the brain affects home organization. And that specifically relates to ADHD and depression as well. So my thought is that I will do book tours / book signings, possibly that week between Christmas and New Year's, possibly over spring break, and then next summer. And I've kind of fleshed out way too many little 7 to 10 day tours that I could do on different parts of the country. And all of this is meshing around in my brain. So if you're thinking, ooh, I have thoughts on this, or I would like to have you in my city, or I know a group that wants you to speak, or I don't know what you know, but if you have any information that we could add to the swirlingness in my brain that would help me figure out how to do a book launch, that would be awesome. I would love that information at lisa@organize365.com. The one thing I do know is I will be in San Diego in the end of September. I'm going to be there for a conference and then to meet with a coach. And I actually have 2 days where I am not doing anything, and I would be available for a book signing or media event, or if a group wanted me to talk. I will be there on Sunday the 25th, September 25th, and Monday the 26th. So I would love to do any TV or news or anything. I'll be in San Diego at that time. So if you know anything in that area, let me know. And I will give you updates about this on the podcast, probably a month or 6 weeks from now, after I start to get feedback from you about who would like me to come where and where I could speak and how I could share this message. The whole point of this, the whole point of everything I'm doing in my business, is that I really, really want more women to feel empowered and equipped and encouraged and given the resources and motivation that she needs to get her home organized. We are not born organized. This is not something you're just born with and you float through your entire life. Like, life is hard. Life is messy. Life comes in phases. And my mission is to equip and encourage every woman with the resources and motivation she needs to get her home organized. So if that is a message that your group wants to hear, or that you know how I can share that with more people, a podcast I can be on, a TV show I can be on, a radio interview I can do, I want to help people get this mission out there. So email me at lisa@organize365.com. All right, that's all I have to say. Please head on over to organize365.com/mindset to get the link to go get your book. Or of course, you can just go straight to amazon.com. You could type in my name, Lisa Woodruff, or you can type in the mindset of organization, and I'm sure you'll be able to find the book. I just want to say thank you. Thank you for listening all the way to this end of this rambling podcast. Can you tell I am so excited? I'm just so excited. I'm so excited to have out there what I really think will help more women. And I am just so blessed to have you listening to this podcast each week, sharing it with your friends, and just encouraging me to encourage you. You really do. You encourage me a lot. Now, there's a bonus podcast coming up next. Yep, you actually are getting two this week. The next podcast coming up is where you can send this podcast to a friend. Some of you have been saying, I want to introduce people to you, Lisa, but how do you say, hey, you need a professional organizer? Like, how can we introduce you to our friends? So the next podcast coming up is my introduction to your friends. And I hope that that helps you share and spread the message. Head on over to Facebook. Tell me what you think. Download the book. I can't wait to talk with you next week. Are you ready to get your house organized? Take the 100-day home organization challenge with daily organizational assignments, daily videos of those spaces organized in my home, weekly printable checklists, and more. Sign up at www.organize365.com/100-days.